We're going to go to the Word of God today. I would ask you to join me in John chapter 1. John chapter 1, verse 16. It is just amazing how God coordinates everything and how He sets up the atmosphere and the ambiance for His Word. As I was worshiping along with all of you and hearing some of the lyrics, some of the words of the songs, there was a portion in one of them that said something about filling me, Lord, in order to be able to touch others. And that is exactly what the Lord had impressed upon my heart to share today. And so we need to trust that every time that we come together to worship and praise and pray, whether it be Wednesday or Sunday, God has everything in line and in order in order to minister to us and give us the necessary words, the necessary ingredients for victory. Amen. So in John chapter 1, verse 16, the Gospel of John chapter 1, verse 16, we're going to be reading that verse, and our subject today is going to be, let Him fill you. Let Him fill you. Would you turn to somebody and say, let Him fill you? You who are watching by social media, Facebook Live, let Him fill you. John chapter 1, verse 16, it states, and of His fullness, NIV says, out of His fullness, we have all received grace in place of grace already given. Another translation would say, and of His fullness we have all received, and grace for grace, or grace upon grace. And of His fullness we have all received, and grace for grace, or grace in place of grace already given. Amen. I'm not a scientist, but I remember in physics class in high school, they taught us one of the laws of physics, which stated that two objects cannot occupy the same space at the same time. And so that applies to the physical realm. When we go into subatomic particles and the invisible and your cells and all those things that we cannot see that are microscopic, things are different, because in those realms you can have one thing filling another or inside of another. And even physically, you can have an object inside of another, occupying the same space at the same time. For example, we just went through Christmas just a few months ago. And if you receive the gift, you receive the gift inside of a box or whatever medium you use to go ahead and give your family members or friends a gift. And there's something inside that box. So in that context, you have two things occupying the same space at the same time. But it can only be in the context of one being inside or filling the other. Amen? So two objects cannot occupy the same space unless one is filling or inside of another. And that is exactly how God can be in us, and how God can fill us, and how we can occupy the same space at the same time if we allow Him to fill us. Now, for us to allow God to fill us, there has to be an emptying first. You cannot fill something that is already full. It would be ridiculous and crazy and nonsensical for you to try to fill a glass with water or juice when it's already full. You must empty it first of its contents in order to refill it again. And I'm reminded of a story I once heard in a church where there was a young man and an old saint praying in the altar at the same time. And the young man was eager and zealous for a spiritual experience, and so his prayer was, Lord, fill me. And he would cry out in a loud voice, Lord, fill me. You could hear it in the sanctuary if you were present. And the elder saint, she was praying, and she says, Lord, pour him out first. You can imagine being a church attendee at that moment, hearing these two believers pray in the altar at the same time, and it would seem that they were contradicting one another. While the young man was saying, fill me, the old saint was saying, pour him out. There was no contrast. It's just that the young man did not understand the principle that in order to be filled with God, you must first be emptied of yourself. Because God will not allow anything other than him to fill those who are his children. And he encompasses so much. We're going to get into a verse later on that says that he fills it all. That he encompasses so much space that there really is no room left for anything else. And since the Holy Spirit is a gentleman, if we insist on being full of ourselves, he cannot fill us. And I think that in the times that we're living in, those of you who are watching by Facebook Live, we need more people full of God and less people full on themselves. I don't think that when we are full of ourselves, our lives are that positive. Because the first thing that happens when we're full of ourselves is that we forget about our neighbor. We forget about those who are close to us. We forget to consider. We forget to be compassionate. We forget to be loving. We forget to be merciful. And we forget about righteousness because we see life through the lens of our own perspective and viewpoint. And so in order for us to be serving, in order for us to be fruitful and beneficial to those around us, we have got to reach a point where we empty ourselves of ourselves and let God fill us with his love, with his attributes, and with his character. Somebody say amen. And the greatest example of this is our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Because Christ is the pattern for the church. He is the prime example for the believer. Now, I know we have seasoned saints and we have godly men and women that we allow to influence our lives, and they are examples in many areas to us. But as human beings, we have the capacity to fail. We are not perfect. We have weaknesses. We have Achilles' heels. We have areas where we are lacking in. And so that's why the believer must always have his and her eyes on Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. Because there is no defect in Jesus. There is no error in Jesus. There is no weakness in Jesus. There's no failure in Jesus. And so when we want a prime example of what a believer, a Christian believer, should be, we need to look to the one who founded all this, named Christ. And we're going to see in the life of Christ that he was willing to empty himself in order to give us a pattern of life by which we should live. Amen? Colossians chapter 1, verse 19. Colossians chapter 1, verse 19. It says something powerful. It says that, for God was pleased to have all his fullness dwell in him. And he's referring to Christ. For God was pleased to have all of his fullness dwell in him, in Christ. Now we're going to get a little bit deep in here, but I want to just say that the Jewish rabbis speak of God being transcendent. And what they mean by that is that God is so above and beyond the physical realm and the created realm that he is actually exists outside of it and in it at the same time. And so because he is all-encompassing, he can be in it, but he is so transcendent that at the same time, Paul said that he dwells in the inaccessible light, whom no man can see and has ever seen. And so what they teach, and I believe this is in line with what we see in the scriptures, is that in order for an invisible God, a spiritual God who is spirit and cannot be touched by human hands, in order to have a connection with the physical realm, there has to be a medium, a channel, or a vessel, some sort of connecting point that can connect the invisible with the visible, that can connect the spiritual with the material, that can connect the God who cannot be seen with creation that can be seen. And the way that God connected himself to his creation was through the word. Somebody say the word. That's why John 1:1 says, in the beginning, before creation itself, was the word. The word already was. And the word was with God, and the word was God. Everything God was, another translation says, the word also was. So the nature of the Father was also the nature of the word. And it is also the nature of the Spirit, because there's only one divine nature. Amen? But it pleased God, as we just read, to have all his fullness dwell in the word. So when the word is manifest, it's God being manifest through the word. The word being manifest is God being manifest. And John said, the word was made flesh. God spoke everything into existence through the word. Amen. And I want to give any young person in here some vitamins for your next biology class, because Stephen Hawking, the late scientist who did not believe in a creator, he essentially said in one of his scientific discourses that the universe came from nothing. The universe came from nothing. I'm citing Stephen Hawking here. A very intelligent man. I believe he was misguided, but he was a very intelligent man. Now, Stephen Hawking said, the universe came from nothing. I agree. Because Hebrews chapter 11 tells us, by faith, we believe that the worlds or the universe was framed by the word of God, so that the things that appear came from things that do not appear. So 2,000 years before Stephen Hawking, the Bible says something came from nothing. What you see came from what is not seen. How did it happen? Genesis 1:3, and God said, let there be light. Those same scientists say that all creation owes its origin to the light. Science just confirms what the word of God said. Before any of them could prove anything, the word of God already said creation came into existence from nothing, because there was a word in the beginning. And I believe that if God's word was enough to create a universe, it's enough for you today to take you out of your situation, to provide a way for you to be victorious, to give you light in the midst of darkness, to give you power in the midst of weakness. If his word worked in the beginning, it can do the same for you today. Somebody say amen. The word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory. Glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Colossians said that it pleased the Father that all the fullness of deity, of divinity, would dwell in Christ. In Colossians chapter 2, verse 9, it says this, for in Christ, in the Messiah, all the fullness of deity lives in bodily form. Verse 10 as well. And in Christ, you, somebody say me, in Christ, we have been brought to that fullness. He is the head over every power and authority. I want to read that last clause once again. I just want to remind myself that no matter who sits in the Oval Office, no matter who is in power in Congress, somebody help me here, no matter which side is balancing out the Supreme Court, I want to remind everybody, he is the head over every power and authority. And if he is the head over every power and authority in the heavenly realm, he's the head over everybody in the earthly realm. Every knee shall bow, every tongue will confess that Jesus is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Tell somebody he's in control. I understand the vaccines haven't reached everybody, but God is still in control. Hallelujah. He's in control. It doesn't matter what news you may hear. God is still in control. He is sovereign. Amen. So in Christ, the fullness of the divine nature dwells bodily. That's why he told Philip, if you have seen me, you have seen the Father. The Father is invisible. He cannot be seen. He cannot be touched. But through Christ, through the Word, he has made himself known and accessible to us, his creation. Now, when you go to the Bible and you read in Philippians chapter 2, verse 5, there's a point that we must bring across. And I'm going to read the NIV version, but I'm also going to read another translation. NIV says, in your relationships with one another, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus. Another translation says, let this mind or this attitude be in you as it was in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, or existing in the form of God, or being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Or another translation says, something to be held down to or something to be grasped. Which means that Jesus, in the incarnation, when the Word was made flesh, he did not lose his divine nature. He did not cease to be the Son of the living God. He did not cease to be the Word of God. He did not cease to be the living Torah, the living Word. But he did empty himself. He emptied himself. I believe it's verse 7, Brother Jimmy, of Philippians 2. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness. Another version says, he emptied himself, or made himself of no reputation. What did Jesus empty himself of? He emptied himself of what we can call divine prerogatives, divine abilities. God, in his pristine, excellent, divine nature, is all-powerful. There's nothing he can't do. He's omniscient. There's nothing he does not know. He is omnipresent. He fills the whole universe, and at the same time existing outside of it. But Jesus, in his divine nature, being God's Word, had all these attributes just as the Father has. Yet when the Word was made flesh, it did not lose its character, but Jesus emptied himself of those divine abilities. Fasten your seatbelts for a moment with me. Because we're having a situation in our current generation that must be addressed. And it's that we place ability above character. Come on, somebody here. Jesus did not lose his divine character, his nature of excellence, of holiness, of perfection was never marred by the incarnation. But what he emptied himself of was ability. So he did not exert omnipotence, omniscience, or omnipresence while he was on the earth. He emptied himself of that and was willing to go through human experience in order to understand us. See, God the Father understands us by omniscience because he knows it all. But the Word being made flesh understands us by experience. Aren't you glad you have somebody in heaven who understands you by experience? And it's not the angels. It's Jesus, the Son of the living God, at the right hand of the Father, who went through everything that we will go through. And he said, if I can overcome, you can overcome also. But he emptied himself of ability while he maintained his character. He did not perform one miracle during his young age. We do not see anything supernatural outside of the Holy Spirit begetting Jesus through Mary and the incarnation. We don't see anything other supernatural in the life of Jesus until after the River Jordan, when he's filled with the Spirit and then begins to do miracles. That's when we see the supernatural. Up to that time, until the age of 30 years old, Jesus lived in obedience to the Father, in obedience to the law, in obedience to God's precepts, because he had character. Somebody say character. Look at somebody and say, we need character in this country. Now fasten your seatbelts. I make myself responsible for what I'm about to say. But honestly, we have many people with ability. My question is, how many do have character? Athletes have ability. Actors have ability. Artists have ability. Politicians may have ability. We have many talented and able people in this country. My question is, how many have character? Physical ability is not enough. Intellectual ability is not enough. Political ability is not enough. Love has to do with character. Respect has to do with character. Unity has to do with character. Serving has to do with character. Somebody help me preach in here this morning. And so we have been caught up for many decades with ability. Where has that gotten us? Ability will not drive out hatred. Ability will not drive out racism. Ability will not drive out the sexual perversion that this country is under. Ability will not stop political division. Ability will not be able to stop sin. The only thing that can provide a contrast and a barrier with the things that I'm mentioning is when godly character is manifest in the hearts and minds of men and women. We need to work on character. We need to work on our personality. It's not enough for us to have ability. You can make millions of dollars by your ability. But somebody said that your charisma can take you as high as you want, but your character will keep you there. And in some cases, our charisma, our ability, our persona takes us to great heights, but lack of character will bring us right down. That's why the Word of God says pride comes before a fall, because our ability, our talents can take us as high as the sky. But if we have no character, we're going down. Amen. That's why it's necessary that before God exalts us, we must humble ourselves first. He that exalts himself shall be humbled, and he who humbles himself shall be exalted. Somebody say amen. And for us to humble ourselves, we must empty ourselves. Now, don't get upset with your neighbor, but tell him, don't be full of yourself. Don't you think it's ironic for news anchors who have lack of character trying to tell the nation how they should live? Don't get scared on me. I think it's ironic. How can you be telling anybody else how to live their lives when you don't know how to live yours? How can politicians who have no character tell citizens how they should live their lives? Come on, somebody. We the church, beginning with Brother Joel. How can we tell the world how to live if we ourselves are not experiencing the benefits of the gospel we say we believe in? It's not just about oratory or ability. We have to have character. And so before our master, our Lord and Savior, ever did one miracle, he had lived a life of obedience and submission, love, serving, assisting, helping. He submitted to his parents. He submitted to Moses' law. He was obedient, he did what he had to do, and lived a perfect life without casting out one demon, raising somebody from the dead, or healing one sick person, because he had character. Now, I believe in the supernatural. I believe in the power of the Holy Spirit. And I am charismatic / Pentecostal, whatever you want to call it, revival background, whatever you want to call it. But my first concern is character. The house must be clean before you fill it. Come on, somebody. I'm feeling something rising in me. None of us will move into a house unless we first clean it. especially if it's been used. And before Jesus got to our lives, we were used by the world. We were used by darkness. We were used by the enemy. And the first thing the Lord did when he came into our lives is he washed us in the blood of the Lamb. And once he washed us in the blood of the Lamb, the Spirit of God took the word and began to broom all the filthiness out. And then he filled us, but he can't fill us unless we're emptied of ourselves first. Somebody say amen. So it pleased the Father that all fullness dwell in the Son. And all the fullness of the Godhead dwells in the Son. But the Son emptied himself of ability while not emptying himself of character, giving us a model to follow. That though we may have been blessed with abilities and talents, the first thing we must work on is character. Ephesians chapter 1. Verse 15 on forward. Hallelujah. For this reason, this is Paul writing to the Ephesian church. Since I heard about your faith in the Lord Jesus and all your love for all God's people, verse 16, I have not stopped giving thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers. Verse 17, I keep asking that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation. I want to stop there just 1 second to make a contrast between knowledge and wisdom. With just the touch of your finger on your cell phone, computer, or tablet, you can access all you ever want to find out. God forbid, if you're a hacker, you can find out even more. You're Julian Assange and you know, WikiLeaks, and could expose everybody's life out there. God have mercy, right? Let's give God thanks for the blood of Jesus. Nobody can go into those waters to dive in and get anything because he doesn't remember it. Somebody say amen. But the fact of the matter is, with a touch of a button, of a key, we can access so much information, and our generation is seeking knowledge because knowledge is power. Yes, it is. But if the person who has it doesn't have the right heart, we will use what we know for self-aggrandizement and we will harm other people in the process. That's why we must have a spirit of wisdom and revelation, because that's where God steers knowledge in the right direction. That's where what we know is not just a boasting issue in our minds. If I know something, I want to bless somebody else and serve someone else through what I know. Amen? Spirit of wisdom, revelation, so that you may know him better. I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened in order that you may know the hope to which he has called you, the riches of his glorious inheritance in his holy people. And his incomparably great power for us who believe, that power is the same as the mighty strength he exerted when he raised Christ from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly realms. Far above all rule and authority, power and dominion, and every name that is invoked, not only in the present age, but also in the one to come. And God placed all things under his feet, and appointed him to be head over everything for the church. Look at this verse. Which is his body. We are the body of Christ. But please look at that verse 23 once again. Ephesians chapter 1 verse 23. Not only is the church his body, the church is the fullness of him who fills everything in every way. Did you just listen to me? We are not only his body, we are his extension on the earth. And we represent his fullness. So we have been filled with him, and now the church is the representation of his fullness on the earth. Which means that just as Jesus represented the Father, now the church represents Jesus. No one has seen God, but the first generation, the first in the first century, the generation of the first century saw Jesus. They could not see God, but they saw Jesus. And Jesus is Emmanuel, God with us. Amen? Now Jesus is at the right hand of the Father. No one can see Jesus, but they can see us. So it is expected then that when people see the church, they see Jesus. I hope that burdens you this morning. I hope you leave here with a spiritual burden on you in the context of letting Jesus be manifest through you. I hope that we leave with that sense of urgency that God may be manifest through us. How? Through His love. Through His power. Through His compassion. Through His mercy. And when people will see the church, they can see Jesus through the church. Not just in the supernatural. You have witches and warlocks and people who can do a bunch of magic tricks and above other things in imitation of what people see the church do. Where the church will distinguish itself is in character. Come on, somebody. In this shall they know that you are my disciples, in that you love one another as I have loved you. They will see Jesus through the church in righteousness. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and its righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. Where the church distinguishes itself from every other institution is through godly character. Somebody say amen. And that godly character will represent the fullness of Christ, so that people do not see Christ at the right hand of the Father, but they see us. Amen. And so Ephesians 3:19. And to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. Somebody say, that's for me. These are not unreachable things, beloved. These are not things that you have to have a doctorate in divinity in order to be able to access. You don't have to be ordained. You don't have to be a pastor or a minister in order to access this. This is for all the church. Regardless of denomination. Regardless of if you've been walking with him for 50 years or 50 seconds. This is for you. It's accessible for you. It has been provided for you through the saving work of Jesus Christ on the cross. And so this has been provided for us, so that little old you and me can be filled with the fullness of God through Christ. And now we can represent him before a hurting and lost world. Somebody say amen. So we have got to allow God to fill us with his character. And that dunamis power through the Holy Spirit will not only produce in us a godly character, then we will be able to work the works of God. And I'm closing in just a few moments. But the fact of the matter is that if you see the early church in Acts chapter 2, what you see when the Holy Spirit descends upon the church in Pentecost, you see a supernatural ability being given to the church. All right? They spoke in other languages as the Spirit gave them utterance. And those who were hearing them from afar heard them speak in other languages the great things of God, and they said, they must be crazy, they must be drunk. And then Peter rises and says, we are not drunk as some of you suppose. This is that which the prophet Joel prophesied. In the last days I will pour my spirit upon all flesh. Sons and daughters will prophesy. The elderly among you will dream dreams. And so that was a filling of ability. Somebody say ability. Power, dunamis, supernatural ability to work the supernatural works of God. But what some lose sight of is that in John chapter 20, when Jesus had risen from the dead, he goes to them and appears to them while the doors were shut. He just walks in. And he says, Shalom, peace be unto you. And he breathed upon them and says, be filled with the Spirit. So I submit unto you, they were filled with the Spirit in John chapter 21. That's the first time they were filled. What were they filled in? That's when they experienced new birth. Regeneration. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. The old things have passed away. Hereby they all made what? New. Jesus told Nicodemus, you must be born again. So in John chapter 20, the Spirit is manifest upon the disciples for new birth. Character. Somebody say character. Character was given to them. In John chapter 20, the blood had been shed. Jesus has risen from the dead. The saving work has been accomplished. Now he can impart spiritual life to the disciples. That's exactly what he did. So he cleaned the house first in John chapter 20. He took out bad attitudes. He took out anger. He took out resentment. He took out pride. He took out lack of mercy. He took out prejudice. Somebody say amen. He took out bitterness. He took out lust. He took out all those things that cause us to harm ourselves and harm our fellow neighbors. And then when the house was clean, then in Acts chapter 2, I'm going to give you supernatural ability because I have a platform I can stand on now. We build a platform for God when we allow his character to fill us. And then when he sees his character in us, he will entrust us with his power. Somebody say amen. And the problem with a lot of revival people is that they want the ability without the character. That's why there's so much scandal today. We want the cameras and the lights and the fame and the money and the glory, but we don't want godly character so that when sin presents itself, I say, I don't want you. You did harm to me in the past. I know what you're capable of. I'd rather hold on to Jesus. I'd rather live godly. I'd rather live holy. It may be crazy. It may be scandalous, but I want to do what's right. Somebody say amen. We need a church that does what's right. In the midst of so much wrong, we must do what's right. I close. And so they were filled with the Spirit in Acts chapter 2, with ability when they had first been filled with character. If we want God to fill us, we can't pick and choose what we want. Because John the Baptist said that he does not give his Spirit by measure. He doesn't give it to you first here, then here. No, he gives you the whole package. And he says, take it or leave it. All or nothing, John the Baptist also said, it is necessary that I decrease so that he may. I don't have a doctorate in mathematics, but I know that 100 plus 0 equals 100. Am I right? Come on, math teachers in here. Even if you're retired, help me out. 100 plus 0 is still, which means if God is all, when he comes into my life, come on, somebody, I must be nothing so he can remain being all. But sometimes we want him to be all, and we still hold on. Yes, I know he's love, but somebody did me wrong 10 years ago. And they've never come back to say I'm sorry. So I know he's love. I want him to fill me, but I'm going to hold on to this bitterness. They never said I'm sorry. It doesn't matter. Forgive them anyways. You'll be free when you forgive. Hallelujah. When we allow him to fill us, we must empty ourselves of ourselves so that he can find enough space in order to be glorified. So I challenge you today, believers, as the Lord has challenged me, for us to let him fill us. When you're facing sickness, let him fill you with his healing. When you're facing judgment, let him fill you with his mercy. When you're facing hatred, let him fill you with his love. When you're facing impossibility, let him fill you with his power. When you're facing sin, let him fill you with his holiness. When you're being pressured from all sides, let him fill you with his abundance. In your times of need, whatever it is that you are facing or having need of, let him fill you. And above all things, let him express himself through you, through your character, through your conduct. Somebody stand with me today. Sometimes we have to empty ourselves of our own agenda, our own hopes and dreams and goals. I know that does not sit well with our current climate here in America, where everything is about achieving what you want, what you desire. I'm not against it, but the believer is held to a higher standard. It's no longer about what I want. It's no longer about what I strive for. Jesus will not accept second place. He is Lord over all. When he steps in, he requires submission. Because while he was here, he did not do his will. He says, I came to do the will of him that sent me. And so he's the template. And now that we are in him, he tells us, submit yourselves to the will of the Father. I don't know how he's working in your life. I don't know how he's working in your life who's watching right now by social media. But if there's anything that we can gain a lesson from in the midst of all this that we've been through the last year, there's some things that we can live without. There's many things that we can live without. There's many things that we thought we needed. No, we didn't need it at all. And by some way, God is wanting to strip us of unnecessary attachments. Somebody help me here. Unnecessary and harmful things that limit our potential instead of enhancing it. So in God's love, I challenge you, beloved, empty yourself of yourself. Let God strip away those unnecessary things. And let us have him fill us with his love, with his power, with his truth for such a time as this. Father, in Jesus' name, I pray that this word, Lord, be a sobering agent. The seed has been sown, Lord. I pray that we be able to accomplish this, fulfill it, Lord, and bring it to pass as we face the daily challenges of life. Lord, that we may be able to live out this gospel, empowered by your grace and your spirit. That we may be able to follow in your footsteps, not doing our will but yours. That you will be able, Lord, to find willing and available vessels in us by which you can express yourself to humanity. Somebody needs to see your love. Somebody needs to see your goodness. Somebody needs to see your mercy. Somebody needs to see your mercy, your holiness, your righteousness. Lord, we are here. Use us. Fill us. Take us in your hands. Express yourselves through us. Wherever we may be, our job, our neighborhood, wherever we are, Lord, we may be a shining light to a world of darkness. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. Amen, amen. Give the Lord a hand this afternoon. Amen, amen. Let's just take some moments of worship and let this word germinate and soak into you. Just give him thanks and give him praise. And surrender to him in this moment. You who are watching by Facebook Live, let him work on you right now. There are some things he wants to take out and some things he wants to put in to make you complete. That we may be able to represent him in the right way. There may be things that you may be holding on to because you think that they are indispensable for you. He says, let me be what's indispensable. He said, without me, you can do nothing. Let him be the primary factor. Let him be all you need. And everything else you'll see will fall into place. As we continue this week, amen. And as we enter into the season where we remember the death and the resurrection of Christ, let us remember, he emptied himself so that you might be filled. He died that you may live. He came to earth so that we may go to heaven. He descended so that we may ascend. And he gave it all up so that we may be filled with his presence. Amen. Amen. Keep that in your minds and thoughts. So, Father, as we are dismissed this afternoon, I pray your blessing, Lord. Bless Pastor David and Angela, that they may return home tomorrow in safety and blessing, renewed and empowered. Those who've been watching, Lord, by Facebook Live, touch them right now. Be with them and give them a victorious week. Those of us who are here, Lord, we have started the week in the right way, in your presence. Bless every family. Give strength, Lord, to those who need strength. Give comfort and peace to those who need it, Lord. We leave this place blessed, highly favored, empowered, Lord. And we leave this place, but not your presence, for your presence is with us and in us, always, even unto the ends of the earth. We pray this in Jesus' name. We give you thanks. Amen and amen. God bless you. God keep you. We'll see you Wednesday night.